This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. And welcome to it. Our weekly Money in Motion segments brought to you by Klaus Financial every Monday at 10:30. That's our new times. The second week, we're doing them at 10:30 here on News Talk 1440 WROK. And joining us here in studio this week, Steve Scow and Kyle Kite. Kyle and Steve, welcome.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing this morning?
Good, good. How are you guys? We're getting ready for the big Bears game tonight, no?
Yes, we are.
Or should are be you exciting. A Packers fan, Kyle?
I'm actually a Vikings fan, so we won last night.
Yeah, you were happy with that game. That was quite a shocker. The Vikings looked really good. All right, so our listeners know that we do these segments every single week, and we ask a Klaus Quiz question of the week, and we will be asking that later on. And this week, you will win a $25 gift card for Starbucks if you answer the Klaus Quiz question of the week below. I know you guys have put together a nice variety of topics, it looks like here, for our other segments, the Do You Know segments.
Yes, we did this week, Mike. We wanted to expand that out and just kind of share with people just different points of reference as you're looking to accumulate for retirement and also then distribute for retirement. And the first one that I'm going to talk about is with regard to creating that retirement income for people, because that ultimately is what you're wanting to get to when it comes to the accumulation that you're doing over the years for retirement. There's been an old standard of a rule of thumb for quite a few years of looking at when you look at your bucket of money, how much can I withdraw from it on a realistic basis to not potentially run out? And 4% has pretty much been a standard rule of thumb, like I said, for over the last 20 years. We've, however, even taken that to a different level with a new dynamic income strategy that we've created that uses a guardrail approach and actually allows an individual to withdraw possibly 5% of that bucket of money. So if you had $1 million, for example, instead of withdrawing $40,000 a year, it could start at $50,000 a year, which is quite a substantial difference.
Oh, yeah. Get a couple more cruises in there for a year for that extra 10 grand.
Absolutely. And the other part of that is we use a mathematical process. So it's a five-step process to help create the income within a manageable range, so you're less likely to underspend and not enjoy your retirement or overspend and run out. So those are always two key ingredients. That's why we call it the guardrail approach as well.
The next topic is staying invested in the market. I mean, that has a huge impact as well. If you look over the last 20 years at the returns of the S&P 500, if you were to stay fully invested every day of trading, you would have about an 8.1% return. But if you miss out on just the best 10 days of that, your return gets cut almost in half. It drops all the way to 4.4. And we can even take that a step further. If you miss out on the best 20 days, your return gets cut in four. So you're down to a 2% return just by not staying invested in those best 20 days of the market. So it's huge. We like to joke that, yes, we have to know the numbers and the investments, but a lot of what we do is just talk to clients when things aren't going so well in those down times to just stay with the program and stay invested to our strategy to keep your returns what we're expecting for them.
I understand annuities and life insurance policies also come into play with retirement income.
They can, Mike, and depending on the strategy that the individual is using, there could be annuities and life insurance that would be what we call non-qualified or not IRA accounts. And sometimes it ends up being a situation where you need to or want to change the company that you're using. Maybe you decide you want to go with a different type of an annuity or a different life insurance policy. And there are some tax strategies where you can actually complete a transfer from one annuity to another or a life insurance policy to annuity. It's called a tax-free exchange, and it is under the IRS rule, 1035 specifically. But if it isn't done properly, you can really mess yourself up and cause some unnecessary tax issues. So in addition to working with your financial professional, you always want to double check any potential tax impacts, not only with the institution that the vehicle might be at, but the one it's going to, and especially with your tax person, to make sure that, again, some missteps aren't being made, because once that mistake is made, many times it's not a reversible process.
You are listening to Kloss Financial's Money in Motion every Monday at 10:30 here on the Michael Kulig Show. And if you have any questions at all for us live, you can call us 815-398-WROK, 815-398-9765. We're going over some things that a lot of people don't know about a lot of their retirement situations. A 4% year distribution is about all your portfolio can handle throughout a 35-year retirement, or a 5% distribution, according to the guardrail strategy implemented by Kloss. Missing the best days in the market can be costly. Number three, distributions from non-qualified annuities and life insurance policies as it relates to taxes can be significant. And number four, I know, is about birthdays. There are some important birthdays over 50 that people need to pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some good things about getting older. The first big one we look at is age 50. Age 50 is when you can start contributing more to your 401k or an IRA. In 2016, the limits if you are under 50 for a 401k is $18,000. But once you hit over 50, it jumps up to $24,000. And the IRAs are a little bit lower contributions. Under 50, that's a $5,500 contribution. And over age 50, you get to put $6,500 away. So we definitely like clients to take advantage of that once we start hitting those special ages. Another big one to be aware of is age 55. This is the one where, if done properly, you can actually access your retirement dollars before you hit age 59 and a half. They would have to be left in a 401k. Some plans allow for this. It's called a separation from service after age 55. So that would give you one chance to go ahead and get some money out of a 401k that might not be able to get out of an IRA.
And sometimes where that comes into play, Mike, is, again, as Kyle mentioned, if an individual plans on or doesn't plan it but ends up leaving their employer prior to that age 59 and a half, it allows them to possibly pull income out without any types of penalties. So those are various dates that Kyle was pointing out that are very important to the process. But, you know, you've heard us say something about some of those dates before as well. What's one of the next dates that you've heard us talk about, like with regard to Social Security, Mike?
I know that 62 is a big age to be concerned with as far as Social Security goes, right?
Yeah, that's correct, Mike. 62 is the youngest that you can begin receiving your Social Security disability benefits. So if you are age 62, you can get your you get a 70% of your full retirement age benefit at age 62. So you do take a little bit of a cut. And also, if you do start taking it at 62, there is a maximum income that you can make and not be taxed on the Social Security at a 50% rate. So that number's about $16,000. It's close to $15,700. So we always bring that one up. If people plan on retiring and pulling Social Security at 62, we don't want them making too much of an earned income. And then the next big one, of course, is age 65. That's when you're eligible for Medicare. So for a lot of people, if you retire before age 65, the health insurance costs are one big thing that we have to take into account. So at 65, you can begin your Medicare, and then you can get on the Medicare Supplement or Medicare Advantage plan. So that's a big one. And the other one is the full retirement age at 66 to 67. It depends on when you were born now. As far as some people, it's age 66. Some it's 66 and 6 months or something like that. So at that age, that's when you're eligible for your full Social Security benefit at that time. And then you can also make an unlimited amount of income even with your Social Security at that age.
And that's a question I know my mother and father, who are both coincidentally 66 years old, they'll turn 67 next year. And my father is fully retired from the post office, but my mom still works full time for the library system. And she asked me the other day, because she's going to be eligible for full for full Social Security benefits here soon. My father is not, because he was in the post office. It's a civil service thing. It's a whole different story. But my mom saw a lot more cut and dry, and she asked me, who's certainly not any expert, whether she should start taking Social Security or not. And I don't know. So I'll throw that to you guys. Should my mother, who is going to be crossing that threshold this year, actually in November, she turns 66. Should she start taking her full Social Security and continue to work full time for the library at that time?
Absolutely, would be my initial answer, Mike. And the reason for that, as Kyle pointed out, I mean, that's eligible for full retirement benefits, and your mom could continue to work as much as she wanted without having any of the benefits reduced. Now, it could also cause some of that Social Security to be taxable, but that would be the case regardless of how long she waited. So for most people, especially in your case with your mom and dad, it would rarely be an advantage for her to not start it now when it's at her full Social Security retirement age. Fire it up and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think she should start taking it and maybe giving me and my wife bigger birthday presents.
Or she could take a vacation.
Yeah. In fact, it's funny you say that, because they're actually on a vacation right now.
There you go.
Which I know that they earned. All right, we're going to take a break, and our listeners can call live 815-398-9765. If you have any questions at all like this, that have to do with finance or retirement or Social Security or Medicare, call us live, 815-398-WROK. We will continue with Steve and Kyle after this on The Michael Coolidge Show. Money in Motion, sponsored by Kloss Financial. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. And you can call us live at 815-398-9765 if you have any questions at all about retirement or your finances or Medicare or Social Security. And we do have a call right now. Bill from Rockford has a question about disability. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, the question was, I'm on disability, and I wanted to find out if while you're on disability, can you make any money, do anything on the side or earn any money?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. And it would be a follow-up to understand if your disability that you're on right now, are you receiving benefits from either a personal disability policy through work or from Social Security?
Nothing for Social Security and nothing from former employer, just the disability itself.
Okay. So it may be, I mean, it's something you definitely want to check with your tax person on, just to confirm what the rules are with regard to any type of income you are currently receiving from any disability benefits that you may have. But it's very possible you might be able to, but you really need to check that out in great detail so you don't mess up any benefits you're currently receiving.
Okay, we'll do then.
Awesome. That's great. Good question, Bill.
All right. I appreciate your call, Bill. Anyone else can call 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. You mentioned disability. We also talked before the break about Social Security and whether or not they're taxable. Can you talk more about that, Kyle or Steve?
Yeah, Social Security, Mike, the benefits there could be taxable. It depends really on your overall income. And there are a couple of formulas that the IRS has stipulated for that. So if you are receiving Social Security benefits and you add in all of your other income, whether it be working and or investment income, and if you're single and that total is less than $25,000, let me backtrack on that. If you take your working income, investment income, and half of your Social Security benefit, and if it's less than $25,000 for an individual, then it's not taxable. If it's below $32,000 for a couple, then your Social Security would not be taxable. However, if in either situation you're going over the $25,000 for an individual and $32,000 for a couple, then half of your Social Security benefit could be taxable. And for an individual, that window is from $25,000 to $34,000. And for a married couple, that window is from $32,000 to $44,000, where half of your Social Security could be taxable. If your overall income is above $32,000 for an individual or $44,000 for a couple, when you add in half of your Social Security benefits, then 85% of it is taxable, regardless of your age.
Interesting.
So you always want to check with your tax person, because that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and that could make a big difference, you know, depending on what your income is, how much of that you're comfortable, you know, going to Uncle Sam. You don't really have a choice, but you should be aware of what that percentage is going to the government there, that's subject to income tax.
Mike, I was going to say one other thing to circle back with regard to, for tax purposes, sometimes people take advantage of those tax-deferred annuities that are not IRA accounts to help accumulate interest in the future that they may or may not use right away, so it's still deferred growth. Again, what I mentioned earlier, you can actually do what they call a tax-free, 1035 tax-free exchange, moving it from one vehicle to another, whether it be a life insurance or an annuity contract as well. So that's something else to take, keep into consideration with your professional as well as your tax person before you make that move.
We're going to ask our cost quiz question of the week right now. The winner of this, if you answer the question correctly, to the following phone number. It's different than the call-in number. The number to call is 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. This is specifically to answer the cost quiz question of the week. You win a $25 gift card for Starbucks, and the question is, what is the name of the exchange when you move funds from one insurance product to another without incurring taxes on the gain? Again, what is the name of the exchange when you move funds from one insurance product to another without incurring taxes on the gain? I believe it was Steve who mentioned it earlier in the show. 815-877-8440 is the number for that. You win a $25 gift card to Starbucks if you answer that question correctly. Finally, I wanted to ask you both about target date for funds. There's some good, bad, and ugly target dates that that people should be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. The good thing with target date funds is that they're very simple and most people can understand them pretty well. So these are a lot of times like a Vanguard Target 2025 or something like that. So these funds, you essentially put them in and then you're paying the internal expenses so that someone's watching it for you. And the closer you get to retirement, they will automatically rebalance and reallocate the portfolio. So they are good for people that don't want to have anything to do with investing. They don't have a professional to speak with and help them allocate their 401k, but they're not a catch-all and not the best thing ever. So you got to kind of know what you're getting into with these, and that typically over time their returns aren't always as good as if you had a professional help you set a different allocation based on your specific situation. So again, you've got to be careful with these. Most funds, these target date funds, the costs aren't any less or any more than just a traditional, you know, large cap growth mutual fund or any type of mutual fund in that situation. So again, they're good for people that don't really want to take the time to learn anything and don't have a professional to work with to kind of just set it and forget it. But as you get closer to retirement, you definitely want to keep an eye on this, these kind of things. So they're not bad, but if you could probably get better returns if you had a professional help and you set an allocation for you. And again,
quite aware of this term, actually. I got to be honest. Target date funds, is that similar kind of to savings bonds, like how they used to sell savings bonds? I think they still do, where they mature on a certain date.
No, these really don't mature. You essentially pick the year that you're going to retire. So if you're 30 years old, you're going to work 30 more years. You would pick a 2046 fund or 2045 fund. And all that's doing is that it'll set your allocation right now would be probably more aggressive because you're going to be 30 years old. So you're going to have a lot more in stock as opposed to bonds. But as you get closer to retirement, this fund is going to automatically rotate around so that in, let's say, year 2043, you're going to have more bonds than stock because someone's watching this for you and actually allocating it based on the year that you're going to retire. Because as we've talked about in the past, the worst thing you can do is have a big loss a year or two before you're ready to retire. So
the other thing I think see, Mike, or find many times with regard to the target date, or another one you might hear of is called lifestyle. They have become very, very popular, especially for retirement plans for employers, because again, it is much better than having an employee just dropping their 401k deposits in cash or in a money market because they do not know where to put the dollars for investment purposes. So in that respect, it does help a lot.
Yes. Target date funds. That is something, again, if you don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of learning about investing and all that, you can do that. But we highly recommend you call Cost Financial at 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440 to point you in the right direction as far as which of these funds and the different sort of retirement plans you might be thinking about would be best for you. And the consultation at Cost Financial, the very first meeting you have with them, is complimentary. It is free, right?
Absolutely, it is, yes. And again, as a primarily a fee-based advisory firm with our fiduciary responsibilities, we definitely don't take that lightly and want to be able to give some input and thought as we first meet with individuals to see if we can be of help to them as well, and they can check us out further.
815-877-8440 is the phone number. If you have any questions at all about anything we talked about on the show, or you'd like to go into Cost Financial and set up an appointment and talk about your retirement. Steve and Kyle, is there anything else either of you would like to add before we say goodbye this week?
You know, there is one other brief thing with regard to the target date funds or the lifestyle funds that I have seen also is that many times as you get closer to retirement, for example, there are ones out there that would be considered 2010 funds, which would imply you've been retired for 6 years already. And they may or may not have as much stock or equity in them as you might think. The ones I have seen still have roughly 40% in equities. So you want to take that into consideration. They're really being managed not only to your point in retirement, but also assuming that you're going to continue to be there during retirement, which you may or may not, because it might be a totally different strategy to create that income in retirement for what you need.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us this week. And listeners, again, every single week at 10:30 on the Michael Coolidge Show, we'll be doing our Money in Motion segments sponsored by Cost Financial. Gentlemen, have a great week.
You as well, Mike. Go Bears.
Thanks, Mike.
Yes, go Bears.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klaus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klaus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaus Financial.